Good morning, church family. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to John chapter 10. Got a nice text this morning from Vic Gustafson. By the way, there's no goose in Gus. Right, Vic? Where are you, Vic? There's no goose in Gus. Vic Gustafson sent me a text this morning. He says, today's the 10th, December 10th, and you're teaching out of Proverbs 10, and you're preaching out of John 10. And I said, 10-4. I should have said, good buddy. And may today be a 10, and I hit a 10-point buck this week. So it's all 10s, not on purpose. We are in John 10 this morning, and as you turn there, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever heard of losing your salvation, or the idea that you can lose your salvation? Anybody ever heard of that? Most of us have heard of that. Why? Why would we have heard of such a thing? Well, the answer is because there are pastors and preachers and Bible teachers and entire denominations that teach and believe that you can lose your salvation. There's one big problem with that. Jesus Christ teaches the exact opposite. And it's in the text that we're looking at this morning. Our text for this morning is John 10, verses 28 to 30. And the title of the message this morning is simply Eternal Life plus Eternal Security. Those two really sum up the heart of the gospel. Those who believe in Jesus Christ receive as a gift eternal life, and with it, eternal security of that eternal life. Look with me, be good Bereans, and follow along in your Bibles. This is the Word of God. Jesus says in John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, if you haven't recognized it, you and I live in a world that is filled with bad news. Bad news. And it seems to me as it's getting worse. But we have a God and a Savior in Jesus Christ who is filled with good news. And the more you grasp it, the better it gets. And here in John 10, 28 to 30, we have the good news once again in a nutshell being proclaimed to those who are not believers. Jesus here is preaching the good news about Jesus' sheep to those who are not Jesus' sheep in the hopes that they might repent of their foolish unbelief, be provoked to jealousy, and believe. But this is also good news for those who do believe. This is to encourage you to continue believing in the Savior who grants eternal life and with it eternal security. And the highlight in these verses, the simple highlight, is two blessings that all believers in Jesus Christ enjoy. The first, eternal life, and the second, eternal security. So, to the end that if you are one of Jesus' sheep, you'll rejoice in the blessings of the gospel. And to the end that if you are not one of Jesus' sheep, you will repent of your foolish unbelief today, I want you to look and think with me about the two greatest blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, eternal life and eternal security. Notice first, eternal life. Jesus says in verse 28, and I give them eternal life. Who is them? Jesus says, and I give them eternal life. Who is that? Sheep. Jesus' sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Jesus Christ gives to his own people eternal life. So now we want to think about this, and I want you to grasp five things about eternal life that we find here and in other places in the gospel. All right, this eternal life. What is this eternal life? What do we know about it? Does this mean that Jesus gives you eternal life such that when you turn 70, you don't die? And you're going to go to 80, and then 90, and 100, and 200, and 300? Is that what this means? Thank God that is not what this means. So, what do we know about this eternal life? Number one, eternal life is eternal. meaning, even though you will die, you will live. This is the good news of the resurrection. Jesus says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. That means he's everything necessary to be raised from the dead and to live eternally. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, meaning not really. And then he says, do you believe this? Let me ask you, do you believe that? Good. Praise God. Jesus Christ gives eternal life to those who are sheep, and eternal life is eternal, meaning that even though we die, we will live. We who believe in Jesus Christ will rise up from the dead with new, what? Bodies. New bodies. Right? This mortality must put on immortality. This weakness must put on strength. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You are going to get a new body if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, one that will not decay or grow weaker with time. This is good news. Eternal life is eternal. Amen. Way to go, Leroy. Amen. Second thing about this. Eternal life is a gift. Notice what Jesus says. And I give them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. You can never earn this. You can never deserve this. You can't pay money to buy this. As they say in ads these days, not available in any store. And it's not. It's not available in stores. This is only available in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It is unmerited favor, which we call what? What's unmerited favor? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. That's what eternal life is. It's a gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is eternal, meaning that even though you die, you live. And eternal life is a gift, something you cannot earn or deserve or buy. Third, eternal life is a gift that Jesus gives. Or God. God grants eternal life. But it's found nowhere other than from Jesus Christ. Jesus says, and I, that is I myself, I and I alone, give them eternal life. This is a gift that Jesus gives. Now here, in John 10:28, it's a gift that Jesus gives to his sheep. To whom does Jesus grant eternal life according to John 3:16? Think about it. Get ready to answer. Jesus grants eternal life in John 3:16 to everyone who believes, not the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that's not the whole world, right? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without looking, does anyone know to whom Jesus gives eternal life in John 5:21? Does anybody happen to know? Turn back and look so that you see it. Turn back and look. John 5:21. John 5:21. Here's that great discourse that Jesus is giving once again to unbelievers in order that they might be saved. And as part of it, he says, John 5:21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus grants life to whomever he wishes. And there's another answer to this question, by the way. I won't have you turn there. It's kind of back here in John 10. Jesus Christ grants eternal life to all whom the Father has given him to save. Notice what Jesus says here, verse 29, John 10:29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. The Bible teaches that God the Father has granted to his Son as a love gift a redeemed humanity. And Jesus Christ has authority over all the flesh in the world, over all mankind, in order to give eternal life to all whom the Father has given him. And who is that? Everyone who ever believes in Jesus Christ. I just threw at you the sovereignty of God and salvation and human responsibility. They're friends. They don't have to argue. They live together in harmony on the pages of Scripture. Is God sovereign? Yes. Is man responsible? Yes. No argument. All right. So, three things so far we learned about this eternal life. Number one, eternal life is eternal, meaning that though you die, you will live, and you will never truly die because you'll never be separated from God. Number two, eternal life is a gift. You can't earn it, deserve it, or buy it. Third, eternal life is a gift that Jesus gives to his sheep, those who believe in him, whomever he wishes, to all whom the Father has given him to save. Fourth thing about eternal life. This is one of my most favorite things. Eternal life is a present possession for every believer. Meaning if you believe in Jesus Christ today, you already have eternal life. Turn back to John 5:24. John 5:24. Turn there. Oh, that's the sound of faith. Turning of pages, the sound of faith, the sound of good Bereans, sound of diligence, sound of attention, sound of, that's the sound of a lot of good things. If you're holding a baby, you're excused. If you're over 75 and you can't hear me, you're excused. There's excuses, but otherwise, follow along in your Bibles. John 5:24. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." That is good news, beloved. Eternal life is a present possession right now for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Guess what? You already have the greatest gift. You have eternal life. And in a moment we'll find no one can take it from you. Not even you. All right. So back to John 10. Last thing about eternal life, the fifth thing about eternal life. What is it really? Eternal life is what is it? Like, well, what is it? It's life, but it's knowing God and Christ in such a way that you have a permanent, unbreakable relationship with them. You have a permanent, unbreakable relationship with God the Father and God the Son. I'll just quote it to you. You know the verse. John 17:3. Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Who's the richest man in America these days? Elon Musk. I think I heard somebody say it. Elon Musk, multi-billionaire. So let's imagine that he's your first cousin. Let's just imagine he's your first cousin, right? And let's imagine you're on really good terms with Elon Musk, and this year you're probably getting a new Tesla. I don't know. Maybe you get a flight in, what is it, the rocket he's sending up there? I don't know. SpaceX. You get a flight in SpaceX? I would take that before I'd take a Tesla. And somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, what are you doing for Christmas? You want to come to the Snyders?" And you go, you know what, Elon has invited us down to the Bahamas where he's throwing a big party on his yacht and he's flying us and the kids and the folks and friends? No, he didn't say that. What's my point? There would probably be pretty good perks if you were tight with Elon Musk. You know what? This is a million times better. It really is. You might not believe that. But if you know God the Father as your Father, if you know God as your Father and you know Christ as your brother, as your friend, the perks of that are something Elon Musk could never offer you. You know what? You go to Christmas down at the Bahamas with Elon and that is going to be over before you know it and back to life as usual. But if you know God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son in a loving, intimate way, your life has changed forever. You can have joy even if you never go to the Bahamas. You could have joy if you were born and raised in Pueblo and never left Colorado, let's say. Truly, you can. You can make through every trial of life. And by the way, when you go beyond this life, I don't know where Elon Musk is at with the Lord. You are going to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Right? So, this is a great gift. This is one of the great blessings if you're one of Jesus' sheep. You have eternal life, which is eternal. It is a gift. It's given by Jesus. It's a present possession for all who believe. And what it is you know God and you know Jesus in a way that blesses you every day. It has the most blessed perks there are on the planet Earth. And second, you can never lose it. Eternal security. Let's talk now about eternal security. Eternal life and eternal security. Notice what Jesus says, verse 28, "And I give them eternal life," and adding blessing upon blessing, all right? That's what Jesus is doing here. He's listing out the blessings that it is to be his sheep. and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. That means greater than all powers. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching the doctrine of eternal security, preservation of the saints, perseverance of the saints. You can't lose your salvation. And part of the reason is here, when Jesus says, I and my Father are one, certainly they are one in essence, but the emphasis here is they are one in power and they are one in purpose. God the Father and God the Son are united in power, and they are united in applying their omnipotent power, their eternal, infinite power. They're united in using it to save all of Jesus' sheep. And not halfway, but all the way to the end. That is, the name of Jesus Christ and the name of God the Father are on the line. If anyone could believe in Jesus Christ and be saved and then lose it, what kind of mark would that be on the reputation of Jesus Christ? So now, let's answer this question. A few things about eternal security. Let's think about it. And the main question is this. How can you be sure? How can you really be sure? Answer number one, you can be sure because this is God's will for Jesus Christ. Turn back to John 6. John 6, verses 39 and 40. John 6, 39 to 40, once again, Jesus Christ preaching the gospel to those who don't believe in order that they might hear and believe and be saved. Jesus says this, John 6, 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. That means not one soul. Jesus Christ, the will of God for Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ would never lose one soul for whom Jesus was sent to save. That I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How can you be sure that you could never lose your salvation? Answer, because it is the will of God for Jesus Christ to raise up from the dead every single soul whom God has given to his Son to save. You can't lose it. But how can I be sure? Question number two. How can I be really sure? Well, here's how you can be sure. Because your eternal salvation is based on the forever love of God. It's based on the forever love of God. Romans 5:8, I know that you can quote 5:8, but I'll bet you can't quote 5:9 and 10. Let's quote 5:8, okay? For God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, now that verse is given to lead you to the following verse, 5:9. 5:9 says, much more than, like even more than that, having now been justified by his blood, we will be saved from wrath through him. What's this saying? Look, if God's already done the hard part of sacrificing his Son for you when you were a sinner, the easy part is certainly going to be done, and that is saving you from the coming wrath now that you're already saved, now that you're already justified. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. 5:8, Romans 5:8 is to convince you that your salvation is secure, that there's no way that you're going to come into the judgment of God. Why? Because the hard part's already done. God sacrificed his Son to pay the price for your sins back when you were still a wretched sinner. So for sure, now that you've already been reconciled and justified, for sure, he's going to save you from the coming wrath. What if you're not a believer? You're headed for wrath. If you're not a believer, you're under God's wrath right now, and all you have to look forward to is the wrath that is yet to come, unless you repent and believe. Third question, what is it? But how can I be sure? Right? Because people doubt this. They've heard teaching that you can lose your salvation. Yeah, but how can I be sure? Here's how you can be sure. Third, because God is faithful. God is faithful. Sing it with me. Don't let me sing a solo up here. All right, you ready?
He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you. He'll be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you.
Where's that coming from? Philippians 1:6, right? How can you be sure? Because God is faithful. God does not start a work and then drop it. He's not like us, right? How many of you have unfinished projects at home? Yeah. That's a lot of husbands out there. A lot of wives going, honey, told you that door. God's not like that. God does not leave the work unfinished. All right. Fourth question. But how can I be sure? All right. Here's how you can be sure. Well, I'll tell you what. You can only be sure if you've been convinced. And Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities. You can't sing that one because you don't know the tune, I guess. Nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can you be sure? It's the gospel. It's the good news. I tell you what, if you could lose it, that is not the good news. That would be very bad news. It was up to you, and it was great having the kids answer. But honestly, if it was up to you to memorize enough scriptures, to attend enough worship services, to say enough prayers, to believe hard enough, you would lose it for sure. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus, and it's up to God the Father, which is what Jesus is telling us here in John 10. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. No one can snatch you out of his hand. And the idea of somebody snatching you is a reference to the devil. He can't snatch you out of God's hand. That's a reference to the demons. They can't snag you out of the Father's hand. That's a reference to false teachers who would try to convince you that you can lose your salvation, who would try to lead you astray. That's a reference to all who would try to get you to stop following Jesus Christ and get you to follow them. Jesus is saying, no one can do it because my Father is greater than all of them. Greater than all of them combined. You can't be snatched out of Christ's hand. You can't be snatched out of God's hand. So that raises an obvious question. Well, why is it then that some pastors, some teachers, and I'm sure they're well-meaning, why would they ever teach that you can lose your salvation? You know why? Typically, it's because of the warnings found in Scripture against falling away. And those warnings are always given to the church. Right? Beware lest there be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Beware, as long as you hear his voice, if today you hear his voice, don't be like those in the generation, right, who provoked God to wrath for 40 years or whatever. Listen, do you think that a good parent gives warnings to their children? Absolutely. Do the children ever cease being those parents' children because the parents give warnings? No. How many of you ever warned your kids? Yeah. Yeah, you do that in love for them, and those warnings are helpful, but you're not saying, you're never going to be my kid anymore. We don't give that warning. Listen, God in his sovereignty has ordained that warnings are a means by which he holds you. And guess what? If you're a sheep, according to John 10, you hear his voice, including his voice of warning, and you know him, and you keep on following him. If you're not one of his sheep, guess what? You don't heed the warnings, and you go astray, and then we find out that you are not one of his sheep, even though you said you were. That's how it works. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why some teach that you can lose your salvation. They fail to understand that the warnings are a means of holding us all fast. My dad loved Ann Murray. Loved Ann Murray. We had Ann Murray albums. Anybody know what an album is? LPs. Younger people, there were these big round disc things that we used to have. My dad had Ann Murray LPs laying around the house. And in 1983, she sang this song. I'm sure you know it. I'm not going to try to sing it. I rolled out this morning. Kids had the morning news show on. Bryant Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story is one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, there's not much to print today. There's nothing bad to say. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. No one fired a shot in anger. No one had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. Well, here it is, beloved. This is the good news for every day. This book is filled with good news. For every 10 minutes you watch the other news, put 20 into this news. I don't know. Be more in the Word than you are in the world. Be more in the good news than you are in the bad. And you'll be fine. So let me ask you, are you one of Jesus' sheep? If you are one of Jesus' sheep, well, you can evaluate yourself. Do I listen to the voice of Jesus Christ? Meaning, do I listen to His teaching and heed it? Can I see in my life that I'm obeying Jesus Christ? Do I know Christ? Do I follow Him? Do I have eternal life? Am I eternally secure? I'll tell you what, if you are, there's no command here, but I'll give you one. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, always. Because the good news is so good. You can't lose your salvation. There's nothing you can do. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. Are you not one of Jesus' sheep? And in a room like this, this many people, probably there's someone. Listen, this is for you. This is for you who came here today, and truth be told, you're not a Christian. Here's the word of God. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You are under God's wrath. You say, is there any way out? Repent. Repent and believe the good news that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to save sinners, gave his life on the cross to pay the price for sins, rose up from the dead, showed himself alive to countless witnesses, rose up again into heaven, is soon coming again, and everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And everyone who does not will rightly be judged and cast out of God's presence forever. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news, and thank you for these reminders. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.